What a good day.
Oh, knocking stuff around.
It's because there's goodies down inside of there.
Thanks for the support. I'm not sure what that was about, but... Well, I tell you what, Baptism Sunday is always a good day. Fires me up. I think it fired Pastor Jacob up too there a little bit. That's good. Hey, if you got your Bibles or a Bible app, we're going to be in Romans chapter 4 this morning. Did you make it out to the community service last Sunday? Great weather. If you remember, a year ago, we were on the service of the sun, trying to have church. This year, it was just really nice. A great day. And I preached a short sermon, so I'm going triple long today. Not really, okay. I just thought some of you might appreciate that. We've been talking about faith. We walk by faith. We listen carefully to God. We do what he says in spite of what we may see in the natural. We trust God completely to fulfill his promises because God always comes through, right? And our faith can grow as we study the word, as we pray, and as we ask God for more. You know, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. We can do the same thing. And we want to be people of faith. Yes, we do. And if you don't, then you need to get on board because that's who we want to be, people of faith. Okay? Romans chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 18 and read a few verses. Would you please stand as I read the word? And here's what it says. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. All right, you may be seated. Here we have it. Abraham is the father of our faith, and it says, against all hope, he believed, became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him. God said, your offspring is going to be phenomenal. And Abraham believed. Abraham was a mighty man of God simply because he believed. That was it. He just believed God. Okay, that's faith. And it says, against all hope. You know, it seemed so impossible. The things that God had promised Abraham seemed so far out. And yet, he believed God. You find the original text in Genesis 15 where God is meeting with Abraham and he takes him out and he says, look up at the sky, look at the heavens, count the stars if you possibly can. And then he says, so shall your offspring be. Now, recall, Abraham's in the latter part of his life. He's got no children at this point. And God says, you're going to have a whole bunch of descendants. Okay? And it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness, just because he believed. And James 2:23 adds a little bit. It says, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. I really like that part. I want to be God's friend. How about you? And it was because of his faith. He believed God. And Romans 4, verse 11, a little earlier in the text, says that he is the father of all who believe. You see, faith is the key to being a Christian. In fact, you can't even be a Christian without faith. and all the promises of God are fulfilled by faith. And the things we look forward to both now and in eternity all hinge upon faith. We have to have faith. We need to believe God. Now, just a few thoughts about faith today. First one is this: faith can face the facts. Faith can face the facts. You know, sometimes people have a misconception about faith and think that it requires lying about your situation. But look at verse 19 here. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that he was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And Sarah's womb was also dead. He faced the facts. And facing facts does not have to weaken your faith. Abraham is clearly given credit for believing God, and yet he faced these facts, and at first, those facts caused him to have some doubts. Back in Genesis 17, when God is telling him about what's going to happen, it says that Abraham fell face down and laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And he's laughing because he doesn't understand how this could possibly happen. John Drummond says, "Christ never failed to distinguish between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is can't believe. Unbelief is won't believe. Doubt is honesty. Unbelief is obstinacy. Doubt is looking for light, while unbelief is content with darkness." You see, there's a big difference between doubt and unbelief. Abraham had some doubts, but he never had unbelief. He believed the Lord. The facts in Abraham's case, he was 100 years old, those facts gave him some doubt, but he chose to believe God anyway. And in our case, facts might cause doubt, but you can still choose to believe. In spite of your doubts, you can choose to believe. Oswald Chambers says, "Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time." Deliberate confidence. It's a choice to believe the Lord. Helen Keller takes it a little bit, and she says, "It need not discourage us if we are full of doubts. Healthy questions keep faith dynamic. Unless we start with doubts, we cannot have a deep-rooted faith." And then Joyce Meyer says, "When doubt comes against us, we have to lift up the shield of faith. We do this when we open our mouth and say what God's word says rather than grumbling and complaining about the problem." You see, that's what we usually do. When we're faced with a difficult situation and we're not sure how we're going to get through it, we tend to focus on the problem and grumble and complain. Right? Okay? But faith focuses on what God said, not on the problem. And when you wrestle with those doubts and you come out on the other end still believing, your faith will be just that much stronger. If you've ever wrestled through some doubts and came out and you'd still believe and trust the Lord, your faith is even better after that. Abraham faced the facts, and he overcame his doubt. He was not in denial. He was not in self-deception. He didn't pretend that he wasn't old. He acknowledged, "I'm 100 years old." And yet he overcame that, and he still believed God. So he faced the facts, had some doubts, still believed God. And I say, don't let your circumstances cloud your confidence in the Lord. Your circumstances don't have the final word. In Hebrews chapter 11, it makes reference to Abraham, and it says that he considered him faithful who had made the promise. In spite of the facts and in spite of his doubts, Abraham knew that God was faithful and would keep his promises. You see, there are facts, and then there are facts, supernatural facts. God's facts trumped Abraham's facts. That's the truth. Donald Barnhouse says, true faith acts on supernatural facts and gets supernatural results. Faith can face the facts. We don't pretend that we don't have problems. Anybody out there ever have a problem from time to time? Okay. We don't just pretend that we don't have problems. We acknowledge we do, but we trust and we believe that God will get us through. And the problem is not the end. God is the end. And then faith does not falter. It says that in verse 20, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but he was actually strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. The facts and the doubts in Abraham's case did not lead to unbelief. His faith was firm. His faith did not falter. And circumstances don't need to shake your faith. In Psalm 125, verse 1, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. That should be a description of you. Isaiah 7, verse 9 says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Well, there's something for you. You need to stand firm. And real faith does not falter. Abraham had some doubts, but he still believed, and he put his belief into action. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. You know, sometimes God will call us beyond our comfort zones. And then we have a choice to make. Go with God or stay in our comfort zone. It's your choice. Charles Swindoll says, retreating to the safety of the familiar is an understandable response, but God has called us to a life of faith, and faith requires us to face the unknown while trusting Him completely. Don't retreat back to your comfort zone, but go where God leads. Again, in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham even offered Isaac as a sacrifice, and he reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. Now, if you know the story, I already said that God said your descendants are going to be all this, and he didn't even have a son yet. Now, Isaac is his son. He's the one that the promise is going to come through, and God says, I want you to make Isaac a sacrifice for me. I cannot imagine. And yet Abraham knew that God had made a promise, and Isaac was the promise. And so Abraham understood that even if he killed him, God could raise him from the dead. Somehow God is going to work things out. Somehow. Because God made this promise. He's going to work it out. If it meant he had to raise him from the dead, God could do it and God would do it because he made a promise. So I say believe what God says no matter how unbelievable it seems. Noah built the ark over a long time period with no indication of rain, all while being mocked by the people. He persisted. Moses, in spite of his difficulty with speaking, confronted Pharaoh, who was the most powerful man on the earth at the time. Joshua fought using some very strange tactics, even though Jericho was a powerful, fortified city. They put their faith into action. Samuel Gordon says that faith is blind to impossibilities and deaf to doubt. It listens only to God. And because faith listens only to God, it does not falter. Because God always keeps his promises. There's an acrostic for faith. You may have heard, Fantastic Adventures in Trusting Him. Yeah, God might lead you out of your comfort zone into some unknown territory, and it might be scary, and you might have some doubts, but it's a great adventure. I want to go on the adventure with God. Faith does not falter. And then finally, faith is fully persuaded. says that in verse 21. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And our memory verse is, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. You see, faith in Christ is more than just a mere mental assent. I lost my spot. Oh, man. Technology. I'll be right back. Take a time out. All right. I'm back. Faith in Christ is more than just mere intellectual. Okay, it's not just how you think. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. It's believing with the heart, believing with the will, with adoration, and with action. It is fully persuaded. That's faith. As we've seen, Noah built a boat in the middle of a desert. Joshua attacked Jericho with trumpets. Abraham went to an unknown place, even though he had no idea where he was going. In fact, Abraham's promise was a long time coming. It was 25 years before Isaac was born. And it was quite a few years after that before he actually owned any of the promised land. But he persisted in his faith because he was fully persuaded that God would come through. God can do what he says. Are you fully persuaded? God can do what he says. A little bit in our chapter, verse 17, it says, he's the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God sees beyond the circumstances. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And then Matthew 19, 26 says, "With God, all things are possible." And Luke 1:37, "Nothing is impossible with God." God can do what he says. One of my favorite examples is found in 2 Kings chapter 7, when Samaria was under siege, and the siege had been going on long enough that the people started to turn to cannibalism. But God told Elisha that the next day there would be plenty for everyone. And one of the officers of the king would not believe it because he was fully convinced it was not possible. But Elisha was fully persuaded and he stuck to his story and he even added that the officer would not get to enjoy any of it. And guess what? God came through exactly as he said. The besieging army, they thought they heard the Hittites and the Egyptians attacking them, and so they fled and they left all of their supplies behind, and so there was plenty for everyone. And in the midst of the stampede to collect all the stuff, the officer who refused to believe was trampled to death. And so he didn't get to enjoy it, just as Elisha said. An utterly impossible situation was turned around simply because God promised it. And God keeps his promises. Do you have an impossible situation? God is bigger than your circumstances. What is God saying about your situation? And I want you to go clear back to our first talk about walking by faith. Listen to what God is saying. Then trust God. God always tells the truth, and God is always good. D.L. Moody, I like this. He says, "God never made a promise that was too good to be true." We often hear promises that are too good to be true, right? Salespeople are notorious for it. They promise you the sky. But God never made a promise that was too good to be true. God always keeps his promises. And faith can face the facts. Faith does not falter. Faith is fully persuaded. Now, as a church, I want to say this. We believe that God wants to bring revival to our church and area. We believe that God wants to heal people with various illnesses. And we believe God wants to continue to grow this church. And so we can face the facts. We're not quite there yet. That's a fact. But we don't falter. We still believe at the right time those things will come to be. And by studying the scripture, reviewing the promises, we are becoming fully persuaded. Our faith is firm. What about you? Yes. The worship team is here to lead in a song called Give Me Faith, because sometimes we just need to ask God to give us more faith. Right? All right. Team, take it away.